God's word. We want to get them out of here and wrap up and they can go out tonight. I said this morning I was going to give you part two of the message from 2 Chronicles chapter 7. Let me say this, that I believe that revival, which we talked about, revival praying, is very much involved with re-Bible. That's why it's important that we have a living Bible and the Word of God in every word Bible. And it's important that we're reading it. And thank God for the ability to read and get into the Bible every day, not just on Sunday, every day. And we have morning and noon and night readings of the Bible. And I am glad to hear when you're reading, because some of these messages lately have been taken from our Bible reading. And this is a two-part message from our Bible reading. So how many of you are still reading through with the church app or our reading program? You're reading every day in the Bible. All right, very good. A number of you are. If you haven't been doing it, I encourage you to get started. And this morning we looked at 2 Corinthians 7, so please go back there. And we talked about you need revival in God's house, but you need a certain kind of revival, a praying revival. You need revival praying in God's house. I am convinced that, as I told Brother Zukowski, that the early church was in the supper room organizing. No, that's wrong. See, I quoted it wrong. The early church was in the upper room agonizing in prayer. And the 21st century church so often is in the supper room organizing. You see, Jesus said that there would be something called prayer and fasting. And he said, this kind goeth not out but by prayer and fasting. And we need to demonstrate what we see here in the Bible. And let's go back to 2 Chronicles chapter 21, because I believe, I'm sorry, 2 Chronicles chapter 7. I believe we see a demonstration of revival in the house of God there. In the Old Testament house of God, but it applies to the church, the New Testament house of God. And revival, as we said this morning, is a fresh outpouring or effusion of the Holy Spirit upon God's redeemed people. Listen to this, a fresh outpouring or effusion. You can't live tonight on this morning's Word of God. You can't live this week on last week's grace. You need something fresh from God. You know, the charismatics believe in a second blessing, the baptism with the Holy Spirit, but I believe in many fresh baptisms or outpourings of the Holy Spirit of God. I believe we see that the first incident in the New Testament was the day of Pentecost, but you see it in Acts chapter 4, and the idea that it's to be repeated, and you see it throughout church history. And I mentioned Solomon Stoddard. He had these different effusions of the Holy Spirit of God, and there are certain people, they just decided, hey, we're going to do revival praying in and for the house of God, and the church becomes prayer conditioned with the power of God, not just air conditioned with padded pews and a lot of food and people that are too fat while God is too skinny when it comes to prayer for revival. And I believe here we see a picture of what God wants. And you say, Pastor, these messages, they seem awful stern, awful strong. I believe we need that on occasion. The Bible says we need that on occasion. We need to be challenged, and we need to hear the New Testament standard instead of dropping it to our level of Christianity. We need to get back to God's standard. And so I'm talking about that tonight. You need revival praying in the house of God, part two. And we said part one this morning was in 2 Chronicles 7. And go there again. I'll read the first two verses, 2 Chronicles 7, 1 and 2, it says there, "Now when Solomon had made an end of praying, the fire came down from heaven and consumed the burnt offering and the sacrifices, and the glory of the Lord filled the house. And the priests could not enter into the house of the Lord, because the glory of the Lord had filled the Lord's house." Hey, you ever notice wherever Jesus went, multitudes followed him? You know what? If we have a manifestation of revival, I believe we'll reach multitudes. Multitudes. And that's God's standard. And this is real. This is not something that I'm talking about. It's real. It may not be your experience or my experience or the church's experience to the fullest. And we're not to despise the day of small things. Don't get me wrong. But don't rule out what God can do. God is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. That's in Ephesians 3. And you know what it says in Ephesians 3? There's glory in the church. Glory in the church. You know what glory in the church is? God is all over us. He's so filling us that it's overflowing. And that's what's in Ephesians chapter 3. That's what we see in chapter 7 of 2 Chronicles. And it was so much so that the Bible says, if you look at it in 2 Chronicles chapter 7 verse 2, it says what the priest had happened to them. It says that in chapter 7 and verse number 2, let me get it here, and I'll read it. It says, "And the priests could not enter into the house of the Lord because the glory of the Lord had filled the house." I mean, that's what we need today, and that's real, and it's something that you can experience, and it makes a difference. Now, secondly, we said this morning there were results of that revival. And what were the results of that revival? Well, people got on their faces before God. They humbled themselves before God. They knew that what was going on there could not be attributed to man's oratory, man's intellect. Something that people had done by mere emotion. They knew that it was God that was showing up, causing the fire to come down and take out the sacrifices for God, causing the glory of God to fill the place. They couldn't give any glory to man. That's the way it should be. In church, it should be that when people come into church, God moves and they can see God move. It humbles human pride. That is so important. Secondly, we said it causes people to praise God for his goodness and for his mercy. God's goodness is all over the lives of his people, but sometimes we have more and we praise him less. It seems like the more, you ever had a spoiled child, they get a lot for their birthday, they get everything they want, everything, that they're not crossed at all, and then what happens? They are brats. And instead of more birthday cake and more presents, you know what they need. Yep. You know, Brother Z was saying to me this morning, two of the kids, I kicked them out of church for a whole 2 weeks. And the bus worker said, "Pastor, that's not enough. We'd kick them out permanently," but I couldn't do that. I said, "I'll kick them out for a month." But Brother Z said, "You know, it's not just bad kids, it's bad parenting. That's what it's all about." And bad parenting is when there's no spanking. It's all over the Bible. If you don't spank, you hate your child. That's what God says. I didn't say it. I'm just quoting God. Take it up with him. And so I've seen it where there's rewards given, encouragements given, love given, and loving discipline involving spankings, not child abuse. I'm not talking about that. And that makes all the difference in the world in a two-parent home with a daddy and a mommy. But it humbles human pride. It causes us to praise God for his goodness, praise God for his mercy in our lives. And that means the influence of the Holy Spirit. You know, when you're under the influence of the flesh, you don't praise. You don't thank God. You're criticizing. You're complaining. You're kind of, what you're doing is earthly, sensual, and devilish. So it humbles human pride, it causes us to praise God for his goodness and mercy, and it causes cheerful sacrifices for the Lord. Solomon was sacrificing, David sacrificed, the people sacrificed. I thank God for our church that we've been seeing people realize you can't outgive God. And they're taking, you know, what Jim Elliot said, he is no fool who gives what you cannot keep to gain what you can't lose. David knew he couldn't take it with him, so he gave it to the house of God. What are we going to do to leave the house of God blessed when we leave here? If you die with the most toys or die with the most money, you haven't won. You've lost. Now, I'm not saying it's wrong to have a will to give to your children, grandchildren. Don't get me wrong. The Bible talks about that. But what you give to the Lord, it'll never be wasted. And so you need revival praying. The reality of it, the results of it, the last result is it causes cheerful sacrifices for the Lord. Now tonight I want to finish up with two more points. And number one, the reassurances of it. We need to be assured about revival praying and sowing the gospel seed and the work we're doing, because we tend to get discouraged. So let's look at 1 Corinthians 7 and verse 12 and 13. I'll read it, you follow. It says, "And the Lord appeared to Solomon by night and said unto him, I have heard thy prayer and have chosen this place to myself for an house of sacrifice. If I shut up heaven that there be no rain, or if I command the locusts to devour the land, or if I send pestilence among the people," God says, my house here is chosen place to pray and to get answers to prayer. You know what? Churches have lost that. I wonder when the last time you were out to prayer meeting and you participated as the men were leading in prayer. And thank God for prayer meeting, and thank God for those of you that do come to prayer meeting on a Wednesday night at 7 o'clock. But I'm just saying that he said here to Solomon, look, this place, this house of God that you guys have built, this is a place where I am going to answer prayer. I am going to answer revival prayer meeting. I'm going to do something great here. And Jesus, when he came to that temple in his day, that next temple, and he saw the temple and what was going on in the temple, he said, my Father's house shall be a house of what? A house of what? A house of what? Too little praying going on. Too little praying. Too little experiencing of the revival results that we're talking about. That's how I know there's too little praying going on. My Bible tells me the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. He talked about importunity, and importunity comes out of hunger. I tell Anna, and I tell Sarah, and some of the kids, when you see me, I know what you're thinking. When you see my face, when you see me walk in, you are thinking, there walks a big nummy. And they ask for nummies, and they get nummies. But how many times are we thinking of God that he is a nummy for God? That he has the nummy that we're talking about here, where you will love the Word of God, love the work of God, love the church of God, love the house of God, love to pray to God and get answers to prayer. I mean to tell you, we have it available to us, but we lack the hunger, we lack the thirst. Oh, we hunger for barbecue, and we hunger for food, and I love food too. I'm not going to lie to you, I'm not going to say, but I don't want to be a glutton. I don't want to be a glutton about it like Eli. I don't want to be a glutton like Eli's sons. I want to hunger and thirst for righteousness. Jesus said, my disciples, they're not fasting, but when I leave, they're going to fast, lest I checked out. He's still gone, amen. And he sent the Holy Spirit in his place. And where is the hunger? And so what I'm saying to you here is, God is speaking to Solomon. And he's saying, look, this house is a house of prayer. This house is a house of nummies. God's going to answer prayer for you if you ask him to do it. And you know what? You go through times of discouragement, maybe as a bus worker. Or maybe as a soul winner. or maybe as a Christian worker teaching Sunday school, or whatever you do, you could go through times of discouragement. And that's what I see here in verse 13. If I shut up heaven that there be no rain, or if I command the locust. And we do that as a nation. Don't we go through times of discouragement in our country? And what does God say? The answer for the country is a praying house of God. The answer for the country is a revived church of God. Listen, you are the answer. And we need to realize the reality of that. We need to have the results of that. But we need the reassurances. And I want to preach to you tonight, there's more to this Christian life than you're getting. There's more. And God has it. And you know what? When you get discouraged, if you get discouraged, you'll quit the bus ministry. And you'll never go back. If you get discouraged, you'll quit soul winning and all church soul winning, and you'll never go back. If you get discouraged, you may leave the church. A Bible preaching, soul winning church. Leave the church and not go back. And why is it? Because you're discouraged and you're going through a spiritual drought. You're going through a spiritual famine where you don't see the answers to prayer. You don't see the lives change. You don't see what you want to see. And you could get discouraged. Who did that in the Bible? Remember Elimelech, which is Luke's middle name. And it means my Lord is king. But Elimelech got discouraged in a famine, and he went to the world to get his money and his fun, and he lost his family because of it. His wife Naomi, which means pleasantness, went with him, and she said, "My name is Pleasantness, but I'm bitter and finally, after losing her husband and her sons and her family except for one daughter-in-law, Naomi came back to the house of bread, which is the house of God in Bethlehem. Man, I'm telling you that we need reassurances so that we don't quit before God comes through. And I'm saying to you tonight, God will come through. The Bible is saying here tonight that to stay with the house of God, stay with the work of God, stay with revival praying in the house of God. And so what does he say here? Well, look at verse 14. Here's the prayer. He says, "If my people, which are called by my name," you've heard of this birth, "shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land." You see, that is revival praying in the house of God. He's saying that is done by his people. Who are his people? Born again believers that are members of the Independent Fundamental Baptist Church that believes in revival, that believes that we're the answer for our nation. Just as the people of God in the house of God were their answer for their nation. He said, "If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray." Let me tell you, it takes a humbling for you to pray. It humbles you. And if you pray with fasting, it'll humble you more, because you'll realize how much you love food and how much you live for food and how much you need to humble yourself and give up food to pray to God for something more important. What is that? Spiritual food. That's the bread of life, so that people will get saved and backsliders will come back, because people are leaving God. They're going to their cigarettes. They're going to their alcohol. They're going to their worldly stuff and walking away from God. Hey, we need revival praying in the house of God. And God is assuring us here that if my people that are called by my name, born again Christians for us today, shall humble themselves and pray, there's what you need to do. And we're not talking about just a little, "Now I lay me down to sleep, I pray the Lord my soul to keep. If I should die before I wake, I pray the Lord my soul to..." No, we're not talking about that. We're talking about real praying for real people and real fruit. I gave the gospel to his brother. He prayed to receive Christ, but he was doing something he shouldn't have been doing after that. So I'm not giving up on praying for him. Maybe he didn't get saved. Maybe he's my convert, not God's. I want God's converts. I want it so that nobody can give the credit to Randy Bloom, because Randy Bloom can't do anything in himself. Jesus put it this way, without me, ye can do what? Nothing. You get a big goose egg. That's why we need to humble ourselves and say, I might know all the methods. I've been through all the courses in Bible college. I got it all. I've got it all. But I don't have the answer. Jesus does. And that's why we need the reassurance that if my people, which are called by my name, shall simply humble themselves and pray and beg God for his power, that's what happened to Jack Hiles in East Texas, I want to tell you. And it changed the whole nation. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face, then I'll hear from heaven, forgive their sin, turn from their wicked ways, don't forget that, amen. And seek my face. And God came through for little Jack Hiles, that powerless preacher, and he became a great Texas tornado. And then he went up to Chicagoland area and turned that upside down, and then the whole nation was affected. I'm just saying, our church is called Scranton Revival Baptist Church. Do we want to have a name to live and yet be dead? No. We need to get back to revival praying in the house of God. And God says it's real. God says there are certain results that you'll see. God says, I'm reassuring you that you can have this and it will make a difference. It's what makes America great. America is only as great as the church house. If the church house is half dead, if the church house is perfunctory praying, if the church house has preaching that doesn't have the fire of God, the unction of the Holy Spirit of God, if the church house doesn't have converts saved and baptized, listen, the church house is not what it should be. We need revival. And when we get that revival, it's going to make a difference. It's going to help to heal the land. And that's what we need today. And so God assures you. In fact, I want you to look with me at verse 15 of this same chapter for God to further assure us. He says in verse 15, now mine eyes shall be open and mine ears attent unto the prayer that is made in this place. You come to prayer meeting and we pray, God says, I'm listening to you. God says, I'm listening to you. You come and you pray, God says, I'm going to listen to you and I'm going to hear what you're saying. You know, he said, I'll heal your land. You know, when we prayed in 2020, that election was stolen. We fasted and prayed every Monday. I believe God was listening to us. And we didn't give up. We realized what we were doing was more important than anything. Why do you think I met with the president and was asked to lead in prayer for his rally in northeastern PA before the election? God was looking at us. He was listening to us. He's letting you know through me tonight, it is important that we pray in prayer meeting on a Wednesday night. It's important for the revival seekers to meet on a Saturday morning, the men's prayer meeting. It's important, you see, that we have these things. And I'm just saying, he's giving you a reassurance. Look at verse 16, and I'm hastening on here. Verse 16, it says, for now have I chosen and sanctified this house, that my name may be there forever, and mine eyes and my heart shall be there perpetually. You don't have time for church. You don't have time for God. That's your problem. You know why the world takes you over and why the world destroys you with drugs and immorality and lust and all that junk? That because you are AWOL from God's presence in the house of God. He said, I'm here. And I want to be here more. I don't want you just to be in the house of God. God said, I want to be in the house of God. You are the house of God. I want to fill you. I want to work through you. And that's why if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face. That's God's faith. But if you're going to seek God's face, you can't have your worldly cake and eat it too. He said, and turn from your wicked ways. Turn from your wicked ways. Amen. Then I'll forgive your sin. Hear from heaven, forgive your sin, and heal your land. And I believe God heard us, and I said we can stop praying for that request. God's heard us. It didn't happen till 4 years later, but God did hear us. God did come through. And I just want to encourage you that this thing is reassured to you. And then I want to give you under reassurance, verse 17 and 18. Look at it with me. It says that, as for thee, speaking of Solomon, if thou wilt walk before me as David thy father walked, and do according to all that I've commanded thee, and shall observe my statutes and my judgments, that's the Bible of his day, then will I establish the throne of thy kingdom, that's Solomon's, according as I have covenanted with David thy father, saying, there shall not fail thee a man to be ruler in Israel. Now, we know the sure mercies of David, that ruler, that king that would always sit on David's throne would not be Solomon, it would be Jesus. Amen. Jesus is coming back again. Hey, every day we're getting closer to Jesus coming back. It's getting close, and it's getting closer, and I'm watching it and waiting and working for it. Hey, it's getting close. Are you close to God to get ready? You should be close to God. If you're not saved, What are you waiting for? Hell's not going to freeze over. What are you waiting for? Christmas? You might not see Christmas. The Bible says, boast not thyself of tomorrow. You don't know what a day is going to bring. God can change your life on a dime. My wife, her back went out, and boom, it was over for her. We couldn't function. It was done. She's doing better now. But I'm talking about everything came to a screeching halt. God can take your life. Jesus is God in the flesh. He died on that cross. He was buried. He rose again. He said, accept me as your Savior, and I'll come into your heart. And I'll wash your sins away, and I'll live right in your heart, and I'll sit on the throne in your heart. That's what Jesus is offering to do. If you'll receive his free gift, it's not anything you have to do. You receive it as a beggar. You receive it as a person that deserves to go to hell. And Jesus is not going to. Will you receive Jesus as your Savior? See, I'm just the mailman giving you the message. But you need to receive that message and be saved. And so I'm saying that Solomon, He was told that somebody would sit on the throne, but as far as his part in that, he could lose out. Do you know you could be a born-again Christian, but you could lose out on revival? Do you know you could be a born-again Christian, you could lose out on the rewards and the opportunities that God has given us? Do you know, I appreciate the fact that God heard our prayers in 2020, and he gave us a great blessing in 2024 in answer to prayer. But wait a minute, it's now 2025. Are we going to miss out on the opportunity God gave us? I'm glad Eli's here tonight. He's going to camp. Noah here, is he going too? Amen. Oh, Eli and Noah. I thank God they didn't miss out on that opportunity. And we're praying for that camp. We're praying for God. I thank God. But you can miss out on the opportunity. God can send revival. You can miss it. God can give us an opportunity as a nation to see not only revival in the church, but when there's revival in the church, it comes out to the nation. And that's how our land is healed, because people get saved. There's a great awakening. People get awakened to God, awakened to their need of God. That hasn't happened in America lately in over 100 years. But we need it. Wouldn't that be great if the God who heard our prayers in 2020 and gave us the president, that same God would give us revival, leading to an awakening in our nation? You say, well, you're not a big name, this and that. I don't have to be.
Right.
God's got the big name.
That's right.
Bethlehem was, what was Bethlehem?
Right.
What is Bethlehem amongst the thousands? I went to Bethlehem, by the way. It reminds me of Scranton. I went to Nazareth. That reminded me of Scranton, too. I'm just saying to you, I went to the Holy Land, but this can be your Holy Land.
Yeah.
Wherever God shows up, that's holy. And so what happened to Solomon? He started out well. He had the power of God. He had a kingdom that stretched all the way from the Mediterranean Sea to the Euphrates River. He had peace and prosperity and blessing. It was a golden age. A golden age. Tons and tons of gold came in every year to his kingdom. The Queen of Sheba came there. She said, I heard about you. I heard about all that, your wisdom and everything. She said, now that I've been here and I've seen it, I haven't even heard half of it, you know. That's what we need in the church today. We need a golden age of revival. Jesus said to the Laodicean church, you're rich, you've got all the food you want, you've got all the money you want, you got all the this you want, that, but you're poor and wretched and blind. Would to God he'd revive some heart tonight.
Yes.
Would to God he'd start something and make somebody hungry tonight for what I'm preaching about. Solomon started well, but what happened? He got away from God. And that's what happens to some of you. You started out well, but you got off the track. And it says in 1 Kings chapter 11, verses 1 and 2, I'll read it. But Solomon loved many strange women of the nations concerning which the Lord said unto the children of Israel, ye shall not go into them, neither shall ye come in, neither shall they come in unto you, for surely they will turn away your heart after their gods. Solomon, look at the end of that, clave unto these in love. You know what? There's nothing new under the sun. I say, oftentimes it's a woman, right? Satan can use a woman for good or for bad, or God can use a woman for good. I thank God for my wife. She's helped me out. But a woman can be used for bad. And I'll tell you what, I have seen it happen in this church where a man will get cleaving and loving a woman that's not the perfect will of God for his life. And there's nothing I can do to keep him. He will go away from God because of that woman and the love for that woman. What is it in your life that has dulled your love for God, your hunger for God and his word? I'm talking about reassurances. God said, if my people, which are called upon, shall humble themselves, I'm going to give you a revival. I'm going to bless your life. Tonight, make that your priority. You've left your first love. You've left your priority love. You know it. He wants you to remember and to come back. And then I want to just conclude briefly with the renunciation of revival praying. Look at verse 19 through 22. I'll read it. You follow. It says there in verse 19, follow me. But if ye turn away and forsake my statutes and my commandments, which I have set before you, and shall go and serve other gods and worship them. Verse 20, then will I, look, pluck them up by the roots out of my land, which I have given them, and this house, which I have sanctified for my name, will I cast out of my sight, and will make it a proverb and a byword among all nations. And this house of God, which is high, shall be an astonishment to everyone that passeth by it, so that he shall say, why hath the Lord done thus unto this land and unto this house? You know why he's done it? Because he gave great revival and blessing there to Solomon. But they turned away and they lost their opportunity. They renounced revival seekers prayer meeting. They replaced it with their idols. I think of Spurgeon's Tabernacle in England. How many have heard of Charles Spurgeon? Great tabernacle in England. Thousands came, got saved week after week. The whole nation was blessed through Spurgeon's Tabernacle, his church there in London, England. I remember in Bible college, one of my professors, a history professor, he went there and he said there was just a handful of people meeting in that big building. And the guy that was there was a good man. He loved the Lord, but far from the great movements of God of before. I think of England itself, and England had many churches, and England had a worldwide movements of God through great men of God that came to America, like George Whitefield and John Wesley, and the great things that happened in England, but England turned away from the King James Bible in the 1880s, Westcott and Hort, when this building right here was built. They turned away from the Bible of revival. They turned away from confrontational soul winning. They turned away from praying in the house of God for the mighty power and blessing of God. They turned in England to other things, you see. And they stopped being a friend of Israel. By the way, that's why I don't listen to these conservatives that seem to have a bug in their bonnet against Israel. And they want to bring out all the sins of Israel and all of this, but they don't really emphasize what I emphasize. They don't. So don't listen to that when they're talking like that. Turn them off. Amen. Turn them off! I'm angry. You get angry. I'm angry. I don't like it. And England went down. They do not have the power they used to have. They do not. They used to be the British lion. Now you see the rising lion, as Netanyahu said. Our people fought like lions, and they fulfilled part of Jeremiah 49. I'm just saying, don't renounce revival praying. Don't renounce revival preaching. Don't renounce a pulpit and a platform and then an altar where you come and get right with God. Don't renounce that, because Jesus said, "He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit said." Jesus said that the preachers, the pastors, are the angels or messenger of the church, preaching the word of God to you. And the Lord said, if you don't repent, I'm going to remove your candlestick, because you've left your first love. I'm going to remove it. It happened in England. I think of many great independent fundamental Baptist churches. They're no longer have the King James Bible. They no longer have aggressive soul winning. They no longer have the power of God and praying. They're now just nothing like they used to be. It can happen. But God said, hey, I want to give you some reassurance. This is the place where you can have it if you want it. This is the place. Don't renounce it. Don't renounce it. Let's bow for prayer tonight. Every head bowed. I wonder if you simply